The Egyptians have long oppressed the people of Israel and imposed harsh slavery on them. Moses and Aaron stand before Pharaoh and boldly demand. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Exodus 5:1-3. But Pharaoh brusquely refuses their request and even increases the pressure on the groaning laborers. As a result, terrible plagues fell on the land of Egypt. Water turns to blood. Frogs descend on the land. Mosquitoes plague humans and animals. When dog flies swarm out and invade the houses, God spares his beloved people in the land of Goshen. And for the first time, the proud monarch opens his iron fist and shows a willingness to compromise. First compromise proposal: serve God, but not in the desert. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God in the land." Exodus 8:25. So he allowed the Israelites to sacrifice, but they were to do so in the land of Egypt and not 3 days' journey into the desert. Pharaoh's motive? He does not want to relinquish control over the slave people. Moses does not accept this lame compromise. How could Israel serve their God in a hostile and idolatrous environment? Moses tells Pharaoh that staying in Egypt would be against God's clear command. Exodus 8:26. The devil's tactics are no different today. When he realizes that he cannot stop believers from serving God, he tries to get them to at least do it his way. He wants God's children to have fellowship with his children. He wants us to accept and implement the principles of this world. If he cannot get us to separate ourselves from the world, he can quickly gain control over us and do us harm. For example, if we worship God with unbelievers, we would be casting pearls before swine with fatal consequences. Matthew 7:6. It is therefore essential that we strictly obey God and allow our worldly minds to be renewed by the Word of God. Romans 12:2. The 3 days' journey reminds us of Christ's death and resurrection after 3 days. This draws a sharp line between us and the world, for by the cross of Christ we have been crucified to the world and the world to us. Galatians 6:14. And in Christ's resurrection a new creation has begun, to which we believers can belong, and which has nothing to do with the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:13. We are to realize in practice that we have been taken out of this present evil world. Galatians 1:4. Second compromise proposal: serve God, but not so far away. When Pharaoh, tormented by the flies, sees that Moses is holding on, he loosens the leash a little, but he doesn't let go completely. "You shall not go very far away. Intercede for me," he adds. Exodus 8:28. He agrees that the people of Israel should not sacrifice among the Egyptians, but he will not let them go 3 days' journey away. He wants to retain a certain amount of influence, which of course he can quickly extend to complete control. Moses does not even consider this compromise. He simply insists to Pharaoh that he really must let the people go. Moses graciously prays for him, and the dog, flies, disappear. The devil fights for every inch. When he realizes that he cannot stifle our desire for separation from the world, he tries to seduce us into a little fellowship with unbelievers. A little conformity to the ways of this world and a little tolerance of evil. We are then inconsistent, preferring to go along with the wave that is currently sweeping through society because we don't want to stand out and cause offense. Satan knows that anyone who does not position himself as required by the position of a Christian can quickly be reintegrated into the world system and withdrawn from the service of God. Third compromise proposal. Serve God, but not everyone. Despite all the miracles Pharaoh has seen, he stubbornly refuses to let the people go. More plagues hit Egypt. Cattle plague, boils and hail cause enormous damage and suffering. When the eighth plague, the plague of locusts, is announced, the Egyptian servants urge Pharaoh to give in. The Egyptian monarch summons Moses and Aaron. He wants to let the people go, but he wants the women and children to stay behind. Only the men are allowed to go to celebrate a festival to the Lord in the desert, Exodus 10, 7-11. Pharaoh realized that the men would soon return to their wives and children and thus come under his control. Moses also responds to this compromise proposal with clear words. We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Exodus 10:9. Pharaoh was outraged. Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." Exodus 10:10, 11. If the devil fails in controlling all of God's people and using them for his purposes, he will try to do so with at least some of them. He targets those who are weak. This includes especially the children who are not yet aware of the dangers of serving Pharaoh. If Satan succeeds in deceiving the children with worldly ideologies and in making the world's course of time palatable to them, his influence on God's people will remain strong and will probably increase. Fourth compromise proposal, serve God but without sacrifice. After the ninth plague, the 3 days of darkness, Pharaoh makes a final compromise. He wants to let the people go completely, but small livestock and cattle are to remain in Egypt. Exodus 10:24. But Moses rejects this option too. But Moses said, "You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there." Exodus 10:25, 26. If Satan cannot keep God's people from consistently separating themselves from the world to serve God, he will at least try to rob them of what they need to serve him. He wants to overwhelm us with earthly obligations so that we don't find time for the Bible and don't offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Our worship should become a formality. Satan also tries to control our purse strings so that we don't make the material sacrifices that are pleasing to God, and he retains a beachhead for his temptations. Separating ourselves from the world must be accompanied by serving God with all our hearts and with all he has entrusted to us. Resistance to the end. After the tenth plague, we read, "Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.'" Exodus 12, 31-32. But after the people have left, Pharaoh's heart hardens again, and he pursues the defenseless Israelites with a huge army. Only when he and his army sink into the waters of the Red Sea does his fanatical hatred cease. Only when Satan is crushed under our feet shortly will he no longer set snares for the faithful to take them captive to his will. Romans 16:20, 2 Timothy 2:26. In heaven, we will be free from his attacks and cunning compromises forever. Until then, let us separate ourselves from the world and serve God as he wills. Separation. We find three important passages in the New Testament about separation: 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Timothy 2, and Hebrews 13. These passages show that outward separation from the world must be interwoven with inward separation, and that it is not an end but leads to dedicated service to God. Our task is to serve God, separated from the world, together with God's people, and with everything we have. There can be no compromise, not even when the social pressure to conform increases and the enemy's proposals for compromise seem plausible and acceptable. What God has said is binding on us. He has spoken. That is enough.